What about savings? Are they assets? Now, your savings really are assets. That's the good news. But again, if you read financial statements, you will see the total picture. While it is true that your savings and checkbook balance show up in the asset column of your balance sheet, they are carried on your bank's balance sheet as liabilities. Why is your savings and checkbook balance a liability to banks? They have to pay you interest for your money, and it costs them money to safeguard it. You get a tax break for buying a house and going into debt, but you do not get a tax break for saving money. Have you ever wondered why? I do not have the exact answer, but I can speculate. One big reason is because your savings are a liability to banks. Why would they ask the government to pass a law that would encourage you to put money in their bank, money that would be a liability to them? Banks really do not need your savings. They don't need much in deposits because they can magnify money at least 10 times. If you put a single $1 note in the bank, by law, the bank can lend out $10 and, depending on the reserve limits imposed by the central bank, possibly as much as $20. That means your single $1 suddenly becomes $10 or more. It's magic. On top of that, the bank might pay you only 5% interest on that $1. You as a consumer feel secure because the bank is paying you some money on your money. Banks see this as good customer relations, because if you have savings with them, you may come in and borrow from them. They want you to borrow, because they can then charge 9% or more to you on what you borrow. While you may make 5% on your $1, the bank can make 9% or more on the $10 of debt your single dollar has generated. Recently, I received a new credit card that advertised 8.9% interest. But if you understood the legal jargon and the fine print, it was really 23%. Needless to say, that credit card was cut in half and mailed back. The name of the game. In 1974, my rich dad was upset because the game was played against me and I did not know it. I had bought this investment and had taken a losing position, yet I had been led to believe it was a winning position. Rich Dad then explained the basics of the game. The name of the game of capitalism is who is indebted to whom. Once I knew the game, he said, then I could be a better player, instead of someone who just had the game run all over him. The more people you are indebted to, the poorer you are, said Rich Dad. And the more people you have indebted to you, the wealthier you are. That is the game. We are all in debt to someone else. The problems occur when the debt gets out of balance. If you are going to play the game, then you had best learn the game, know the rules, speak the same language, and know with whom you're playing. Rich Dad drew the cash flow quadrant. He asked, if you're going to play the money game, which team do you want to be on? The E's, S's, B's, or I's? Or which side of the court do you want to be on, the right side or the left? I pointed to the right side of the quadrant. Good, said Rich Dad. That is why you can't go out there to play the game and believe some sales agent when he tells you that to lose $150 a month for 30 years is a good deal, because the government will give you a tax break for losing money, and he expects the price of real estate to go up. You simply cannot play the game with that mindset. While those opinions might come true, that is just not the way the game is played on the right side of the quadrant. Somebody is telling you to get into debt, take all the risks, and pay for it. People on the left side think that is a good idea, but not the people on the right. Look at it my way, said Rich Dad. You're willing to pay $56,000 for this condo in the sky. You're signing for the debt. You take the risk. The tenant pays less in rent than what it costs to live there. So you are subsidizing that person's housing. Does that make sense to you? I shook my head. No. This is the way I play the game, said Rich Dad. From now on, if you take on debt and risk, then you should get paid. Got that? I nodded my head. Making money is common sense, said Rich Dad. It's not rocket science. But unfortunately, when it comes to money, common sense is uncommon. It was then that Rich Dad gave me an important rule that he has always used. Your profit is made when you buy, not when you sell. Rich Dad had to be certain that whatever debt or risk he took on, it had to make sense from the day he bought it. It had to make sense if the economy got worse, and it had to make sense if the economy got better. He never bought on tax tricks or crystal ball forecasts of the future. A deal had to make sound economic sense in good times and in bad. I was beginning to understand the game of money as he saw it. And the game of money was to see others become indebted to you, and to be careful to whom you became indebted. Today, I still hear his words. If you take on risk and debt, make sure you get paid for it. Rich Dad had debt, but he was careful when he took it on. If you take on debt personally, make sure it's small. If you take on large debt, make sure someone else is paying for it. The importance of facts versus opinions. Rich Dad continued his lesson. If you want to be successful on the right side, when it comes to money, you've got to know the difference between facts and opinions. You cannot blindly accept financial advice the way people on the left side do. You must know the numbers. You must know the facts. And numbers tell you the facts. Your financial survival depends upon facts, not some friend or advisor's wordy opinions. Most people struggle financially because they spend their lives using opinions rather than facts when making financial decisions. Opinions such as, your house is an asset. The price of real estate always goes up. It takes money to make money. You should diversify your portfolio. You have to be dishonest to be rich. Investing is risky. Play it safe. The point is, most people's lives are determined by their opinions rather than the facts. For a person's life to change, they first need to change their opinions, then start looking at the facts. If you can read financial statements, you will be able to see the facts not only of a company's financial success. If you can read financial statements, you can tell immediately how an individual is doing, rather than going by your or somebody else's opinions. One is not better than the other, but to be successful in life, especially financially, you must know the difference. If you cannot verify something as a fact, then it is an opinion. Financial blindness is when people cannot read numbers, so they must take someone else's opinion. Financial insanity is caused when opinions are used as facts. If you want to be on the right side of the quadrant, you must know the difference between facts and opinions. Few lessons are more important than this one. I sat there listening quietly, doing my best to understand what he was saying. "Do you know what due diligence means?" Rich Dad asked. I shook my head. Due diligence simply means finding out what are opinions and what are facts. When it comes to money, most people are either lazy or searching for shortcuts, so they do not do enough due diligence. And there are still others who are so afraid of making mistakes that all they do is due diligence and then do nothing. Too much due diligence is also called analysis paralysis. The point is, you must know how to sift through the facts and opinions, then make your decision. Most people are in financial trouble today simply because they've taken too many shortcuts and are making life's financial decisions based upon opinions, the opinions of an E, employee, or an S, self-employed, and not on the facts. If you want to be a B, business owner, or an I, investor, you must be keenly aware of the difference. Learning the game of money and how it is played is an important part of your journey to financial freedom. More important, though, is whom you need to become to move to the right side of the cash flow quadrant. We can be anything we want. Most of us have the potential to be successful in all of the quadrants. It all depends on how determined we are to be successful. As my rich dad said, passion builds businesses, not fear. The problem with changing quadrants is often in our past conditioning. Many of us came from families where the emotion of fear was used as a prime motivator to get us to think and act in a certain way. For example, how often have you heard, if you don't get good grades, you won't get a safe, secure job with benefits? Well, today many people have gotten good grades, but there are fewer safe, secure jobs and even fewer with benefits, like retirement plans. So many people, even those with good grades, need to mind their own business and not just look for a job where they will mind someone else's business.